from the Norfolk Community Advice Network, which represents around 100 charities and support organisations, including Citizens Advice, Age UK Norfolk and Equal Lives. The network says it's declared we're in a cost of living emergency. Good morning, Emily. I mean, this is really, really heartbreaking what we're hearing from Yvette this morning. What do you think of that story? It's awful, isn't it?
It is awful, and my heart goes out to her. And unfortunately, we're seeing people every single day. In fact, we're inundated with requests for help from people who are having to make impossible decisions about the cost of living crisis.
When you say we're narrowing in... Sorry, go on, carry on, Emily. Beg your pardon.
That's okay. The reason we're declaring this cost of living crisis as an emergency is because we've never seen so many people needing help. We've had a 1,300% increase in reports for help with debt assessments, and our referrals have gone up by 68%. So even during COVID, we never had this many people in such dire situations, and people who've never found themselves in debt before, never needed to claim benefits before. And not only are we seeing more people than ever before, the kind of scale of the situation and the crisis situations people are in is also much, much worse than we've ever seen. So the average value of secured loans debt we've seen has gone up by 405%.
If that is just one story of no doubt thousands and thousands of people who are struggling. I mean, she has a severely disabled daughter, Rosie, and she needs to keep the heat on for Rosie. You know that's what she needs. She's got lots of equipment that she needs to run as well. But we're in 2022. You know that this isn't medieval times. We should be in a situation where poor Yvette is having to look after her daughter. There will be perhaps elderly people who can't put their heating on just to keep warm, you know, and very sadly, we're going to lose people this winter if something isn't done, aren't we?
Yeah, you're totally right. This isn't just paying for little extra things that might make your life nicer. This is just life or death decisions. This is people not being able to eat enough to stay healthy and fit, not being able to heat their homes to keep themselves healthy. So not only is it going to reduce life expectancy, people's health, the toll it's taking on people's mental health is really important as well, and all the knock-on effects that has on people's lives and their families' lives.
Yeah, and obviously organisations and charities that you represent, you know, how are they coping with this, Emily?
I mean, we're trying to see and help as many people as we can, but unfortunately the waiting lists are just getting longer and longer. We still always encourage people to reach out to us, because the earlier you ask for support, the better. You know, if you come to us earlier when you're just starting to get into debt or you're worried, then there are plenty of options that we can go through with people. But we are struggling and we do need more investment, and we need real change from the government, because we need to kind of tackle the root causes of this situation.
You've drawn up a list of things that you think need to be done, and it is quite long, I think that's fair to say, but what would you see as the top priorities, Emily?
A really, really important one would be to increase benefits in line with inflation, because at the moment they're not keeping pace with the true cost of living, and the amount of people that we're seeing who are claiming benefits and because they have to, but are still not being able to afford basic food, fuel costs, and having to be referred to food banks. It's a huge number of people, so we need to change lots of things in the benefit system. But one thing that they could do is increase the value of benefits at the moment.
I mean, that must be, surely that's an obvious one that they should be doing, because obviously there are many, many, many thousands of people that can't work because they physically can't, their health doesn't allow it, so they need to be on benefits. That's what a social system is all about. So surely that should have been the first thing they did. I'm not having a go at you, Emily, I know you agree with me, but it makes your head scratch, doesn't it? It really does.
Yeah, I mean, there are lots of simple things that the government could do. There are lots of organisations and clever people out there who could present lots of ideas to them, so they wouldn't have to make anything up from scratch. But I'd also like to say that we also see a huge number of people who are also working and having to claim benefits as well. And people who are working who still aren't having enough to live on because wages are so low compared to just the cost of essentials. So that's another real issue as well.
Yeah, with wages, it would be great to increase the minimum wage to a proper living wage, but a lot of firms are struggling themselves with the cost of living as well. And wouldn't that just put a lot of people out of business? That's the worry there.
I understand that is a worry. I mean, we need the government to implement a number of changes rather than think in isolation so that businesses are supported with the rising costs. There's really lots of good information from the Real Living Wage Foundation, where a lot of evidence shows that businesses who pay more than the minimum wage have better worker productivity and retention. So there are benefits to it. But really, we need whole scale change rather than just kind of the odd one-off handout given to people in need, because that will soon be used up and go and we're back into the same situation we were before.
We just had a text in from Andy. Thanks, Andy, for your text. He says, "Hi, Rob. The woman with the disabled girl, Yvette, worrying about paying her electricity bill. I'm sure her provider would never cut her off if she knew her situation." Well, that may be the case, Emily, but no doubt you agree that she still has to pay the bill. You know, we're not. I think energy companies have said we're not just going to cut people off willy-nilly, but they're not going to say you don't have to pay the money either.
Yeah, I think that there are lots of things that are being done to help, but they're all very short term and they're not getting to the root of the problem. And there are people who are, you know, going to have no money to pay for food, no money to pay for their fuel. That we can't just rely on kind of the goodwill of energy companies. There needs to be a kind of more substantial change.
And finally, Emily, really appreciate you joining us today. You know, regarding benefits, it was unclear what Liz Truss's plan was, but Rishi Sunak is Prime Minister now, and Jeremy Hunt has not back his budget plans until the middle of December. Realistically, what are you expecting and wanting the government to do?
I don't know about realistically, but what I want them to do is make some really quick decisions that are going to address this absolute crisis we're in. We saw during COVID that we introduced furlough, we uplifted the value of universal credit, all because we realised that this was a public health emergency. So some quick decisions that would make real change would be very much welcomed.
Absolutely. Emily Ballston, thank you very much for joining us. Emily is from the Norfolk Community Advice Network.